As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is set of second prize. Third prize is your fire.
By the power of Grayskull.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle
now,
the truth!
Now, we're going to talk about our favorite best pictures, which is usually our favorite part of the podcast anyway, because we can just talk. As you know, every year we rank them, and then we see who's going to win. So this year, I haven't seen a more left of pie, so I can't talk about them. So their ranked is not applicable.
I've only seen 4 of the 9.
Did you see all of them?
I've seen nine.
I'm not going to rank.
I've seen one.
You're not going to rank one through nine?
Appropriately.
So should I just start my bottom list and we'll go up that way?
Before we even get to the list.
I can clear off all of them with one.
Argo.
No, but with one explanation.
Before we even get to the list, my favorite part of last year's Pizcast is when we all said films that we thought should have been nominated and weren't. And DJ recommended a film called Another Earth, which I then watched later and I thought was absolutely phenomenal. And I totally agreed with him. So I'll put it out there with the films that you guys thought should have been nominated this year.
Transformers 4, Michael Bay vehicle, Battleship
was good.
Great one.
Battleship was fantastic. That's my boy. I mean, Adam Sandler really went out of the box on that one.
I actually saw that one on HBO the other day.
And it was the best Adam Sandler movie so far in the last 10 years. I gave it 2 stars on Netflix.
Really?
Two.
Well, see, I wouldn't have given it 2 stars. It's really
grown up.
One. They only had 1 star before that.
Truly, it was a shitty movie. But I wasn't offended. I didn't watch it and go, I want to pluck up my eyeballs. So, I mean, that's the plush.
Isn't that sad that that's where we are right now with Adam Sandler? Like, as long as I don't want to commit suicide, it's a good movie.
I can't think of any. So, if you guys thought of
I saw. I got 2.
I saw Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I heard that about
and,
you saw that movie.
And I did see that movie. That's the only movie I've seen since The Dark Knight Rises. I don't think The Dark Knight Rises falls in this category.
Yeah, that wouldn't be on my list.
Perks is one of those that I think probably should be in the adaptation category, but I think it's sort of unfair because the guy that wrote the book also did the screenplay and directed and casted it. So
I didn't know that.
It was kind of like a pet project, which is probably why it took so long to make. I mean,
they've been talking about making that movie for
years.
Since we were in college.
Yeah.
So, and I think that it was perfectly cast and it was well done. At the end of it, I was moved and was going, and I thought, wow, this is exactly how I felt when I read the book, which is, I think, if you're going to adapt a screenplay, that's what you should feel. Now, we're talking about Best Picture. It's probably the best picture I've seen in a while, but it's not in that, oh my gosh, 20 years from now, people are going to be talking about this. It's not one of those movies. But then again, looking down this list,
are any of them?
My question, exactly my question. How many of these movies are we going to be talking about?
Oh, there's going to be films that are nominated. Now that they're nominating this many films, I mean, they're going to be films 10 years from now that we forgot even were released, let alone
exactly.
They're nominated.
I mean, Lincoln, how many times can you sit through Lincoln?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Honestly, I would watch another 2 hours of Lincoln just for Daniel Day-Lewis. I would watch the 4-hour director's
cut. The part where he's laying on the bed bleeding out of the brain?
Just for his performance.
The full frontal nudity scene.
He bleeds amazingly.
That was amazing.
Well, you know what I said? I said when these films were nominated, I think we had this discussion with Ryan, was that none of these are great films. They're all really, really good. But there's no, out of ones I saw, there are no films that I hated, like The Help or like
Oh,
the kids are.
I don't remember you.
Weren't you here last year? That's because he's racist.
No, I hated Tree of Life.
Oh, we know. Like, let's not go down that road.
Ben Lyons is one of the
fantastic movies. Just shouldn't have been mixed.
Ben Lyons is a pretty popular film critic. He said that he actually made that comment about Lincoln that I was listening to him interviewed yesterday that he would never go back and watch Lincoln again because he was like, it's just one of those films that I'm glad I saw. I get to say I saw it, but I would never say, hey guys, you want to come over on a Friday night and watch Lincoln?
Yeah,
all right. It's not.
It's like Schindler's List.
That's right. Exactly.
Schindler's List is going to be on in 3 weeks on USA.
But
I'm going to watch it.
But hold on. But to take that point, no one's going to say, hey, let's come over and watch Schindler's List tonight. But you're never ever going to forget that you watched Schindler's List.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
but in the flip side, I can't find a room full of people anymore that don't want to go watch Argo. If you give them, like, everybody wants to see Argo.
I can't wait
now.
To see it again.
Yeah, everybody's like,
I can't wait to see it for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Like, yeah, people that haven't seen it, it's all they still talk about. You know, if you I'd like to see Argo. When does Argo come out? So that one has got the buzz. But
it comes out this Tuesday. Blu-ray DVD.
Yes, it does.
So that you're purchasing it like 4 months.
Me too.
But
Amazon Prime,
as,
baby.
Ooh, Amazon Prime.
As far as films that should have been nominated, I have three. One of them, I think, is a pretty obvious snub. That was, the only one that you can actually call a snub, I think, is Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, that was one of mine.
Yeah, I was hoping we didn't lap over. But that one should have been nominated. I also would put in there, I lost my second one. One of them, I just saw this, and I really like Seven Psychopaths.
I wanted to see that. That was another one I saw the trailer for, but...
Very, very good.
It's on my list.
And the same guy that did In Bruges, right. and it was, I loved In Bruges.
Was it as good as In Bruges?
It was better. I thought it was better.
Really?
I liked it more.
I didn't like it as much as In Bruges, but I liked it a lot.
Very well written. There's a twist, kind of early in the film there's a twist, which
Christoph
I didn't
Waltz
see coming.
Under the bed.
I didn't see the twist early in the film coming, and it's very well. The third one that I really think was snub that I really enjoyed was Looper. I liked that a lot.
Really?
I like the concept, though. I like the concept of it, and it was one of those. My a good friend of mine down south saw it, and he called me, and it's one of those. He's like you, Benny, and like Piz. You know, if you call me and say you need to see this movie, then it goes on the list.
Well, like him, everything I watch is on. He said last year, Separation was his favorite film of the whole year, and I went watch. I think Separation is the best film I've seen in maybe 5 years.
Yeah,
I'll put it right up there with the Hurt Locker and Social Network. Oh my God, it's just. I've just pushed it on anybody I can find. Now.
And so he suggested, he called me as a Looper is a
good.
Movie
yeah,
I need to see.
Is it just because it's Bruce Willis playing, what's-his-face playing Bruce Willis?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a huge part of it because the mannerisms, the way he moves, the way he talks, his voice, everything he studied the hell out of the last 25 years of Bruce Willis's career.
Kind of actor. Really. Yeah. Everything he's in, he's been kind of a method actor.
Yeah, right? And he's annoyed me a lot. Like, I've never, for the last...
Ever since that third rock in the show,
I was just going to say,
10 things I hate about you.
Like, he always kind of, I always didn't hit him as a decent actor, but then recently, like, the last couple of years, he's been very good. And what I like
the
most
about Macaulay Culkin. Though, so.
Well, you know, right around the time you mentioned 10 Things I Hate About You, right around that time he was doing a bunch of low budget.
Yeah, he was in a lot of crap.
Leonard Nimoy directed him in a film. He played a an Amish boy.
Yep.
With Robin Wright Penn, I think.
Yeah.
And that was a good film.
No. And there was another one where it was like a film noir. At high school, it was
same director as Looper.
Yeah,
Ryan Johnson's first movie,
and it was fantastic. And it's all at the same time, so he's doing these big budget movies. Like,
I've seen an interview with him where he said, he's like, I've got plenty of cash from these. He still gets, you know, all
residuals
from the TV show. He said, I only take films that I really want to do. And he said, I think he's made really good film choices in the last.
He's a smart guy, and I think what I like about him is that he really understands acting as an art. And not a job. He started one of these acting, one of these film communities where it's artists from all walks of filmmaking.
Artists for artists.
Artists, you know, creating a creating a
no. What's an art film
tape?
The
Bill is
Turner Hall.
Oh my God!
Sure,
it's so
I love this one. It is actually horribly racist. I've seen this movie and it is ridiculously
but
racist.
It's the Conquest of Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, we're watching AMC and they're doing a Planet of the Apes. We're watching a bunch of apes.
The reason why I said that Looper, really liked that Looper was way simpler than it needed to be.
Right.
They could have been very complicated and very difficult with it, but they weren't. And I took that kind of as a gift from film.
Yeah. And that was what my friend told me, because, you know, big sci-fi geeks, and we're like, you know, time travel, yeah. He goes, no, they do it perfectly.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's a part where, you know, that Bruce Willis looks at Joseph Gordon-Levitt and goes, look, we can sit here and talk about time travel for 3 hours and not get anywhere.
Yeah.
Just fucking accept it and move on. And it was like, oh, perfect.
It's
yes,
very
good.
Well written.
And Jeff Daniels has a line in it, too, where he essentially says the same
yeah.
thing.
So I need to find
just accept it and move on.
Yeah, it's very good.
Is it on demand? I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I'll watch
it.
Yeah,
it came out on video about a month or two.
I didn't know you hadn't seen it. I would have brought it.
No.
It's very good. I like it.
Yeah. And I think, just to go back to Joseph Gordon-Levitt for a second, one interesting thing is that, since I brought up 10 Things I Hate About You, You look at 10 Things I Hate About You. You have Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Heath Ledger.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
After that movie, both of them probably could have taken any big Hollywood romantic comedy that came their way, and neither of them did.
Well,
and they both
Night's Tale.
I was going to say.
No, but you got to look.
You know what? I hated Night's Tale, and I forget who dragged me. I think it was...
It was me!
It was you! But I was drunk off my ass when I saw that, because it was... This was back in the day where I only had Tuesday and Thursday classes. So on Fridays, I would drink... I would have 20-ounce Cokes, half and half with 151 rum. And so Benny's like, let's go see a movie. And he drags
me as
my
date to a night.
He drags me to a Night's Tale. And I was currently, I was actually at the time taking a class on Chaucer. And so I hated that movie with a passion. And I saw it about 4 or 5 years later. I saw it on TV and watched it and then appreciated it as a... As a
piece of garbage,
A popcorn flick, but a funny, it had moments.
But Ledger did make A Knight's Tale. But if you look, he did the same thing Joseph Gordon-Levitt does. Ledger went and made 2 or 3 small movies, whether they were independent in the U.S. or Australian movies, and then he'd make a big Hollywood movie that he wanted to make.
Yeah,
it was. He didn't get involved in just taking the paycheck movies. He took the paycheck movie he wanted to make, which is what we're seeing.
He didn't do the Cuba Gooding Jr. Road.
Right, exactly.
Ledger begged for that role in Dark Knight, too. They didn't want to give it to him.
Who were they considering before him?
Lots of people.
Jack Nicholson?
Jim Carrey really wanted that, too. I mean,
he'd done the Riddler.
He wanted
it. He was an awful Riddler.
Jim Carrey just wants anybody to pay attention. So what were your two?
My two would have been Moonrise Kingdom and The Intouchables, which...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it's a travesty that at least didn't get nominated for Best Foreign Film, because Amour was fantastic, but you come out of Amour depressed more than any other movie I've seen in the last couple of years, whereas you come out of The Intouchables and you are just inspired, and it's just such a feel-good, life-affirming movie. And I would have loved to have seen it get nominated for Best Picture, and I cannot believe it didn't get nominated for Best Film.
I can't tell you what movie I'd like to see nominated for Best Picture, because I'm thinking about the last year at film, and I saw the films that I wanted to see, and this year a lot of them were straight-up popcorn action films. There's the Batman, there's the Avengers.
They were going to throw a popcorn film.
I mean, it doesn't deserve to be there, but if they're going to try and make I wouldn't... hated to see the Avengers get nominated for Best Picture.
I think Avengers probably had a case. Yeah. I think Thor, I still say Thor, had the better case of any superhero movie.
Can we talk about these B comic books that are being made?
That's another podcast, but yes, we can talk about
that. I want to be in on that one, because I have some very strong feelings.
You know, I think one thing I'm very happy that it's not, didn't get nominated was Twilight Part 2. Because, there was legitimate talk about that being nominated for Best
Film. Oh, the reviews were terrible.
But there were talk. There was talk about it.
And
it ever stop the Academy?
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah,
right.
They had that Tom Hanks one last year that's like 42% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yes, the World Trade Center movie.
I finally watched that. I hadn't seen it.
I did see that.
Oh, my God, was that awful.
That was
really bad.
That was not a date night movie. That was a mistake on my part.
And I really enjoyed Looper a lot, too. But I would have preferred to have that get nominated in, like, Best Original Screenplay. And I think it deservedly should have gotten nominated.
You know what? I was listening to Kevin Smith's podcast because he was talking
about... Which one?
Yes. Yeah, Kevin Smith does podcasts.
The one on Tuesday mornings, not the one on Tuesday afternoons.
And he was talking to the director of Looper. And he said the exact same thing you guys are saying now. Like, you made a time travel movie simple and your script was just out of this world.
Yeah.
So now that we've discussed that, I haven't seen anything else besides the Best Pictures. You know, my number 7 was Beasts of the Southern Wild. I saw it last night, it was fresh in my mind. And the best thing to me about that film was what's that?
Was that an ending?
No, it wasn't even a bad film. Like, it was an okay film. It was good. But the best things about it were the music. The music was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very nice and pretty. But overall, like, I didn't get a heck of a lot out of it. Like, I like what they did. I like the idea of showing these types of people. And I you know, there are people in Louisiana and Mississippi that live in the backwoods that live that way. But, you know, I didn't think any... I didn't get anything out of it that signified this was the Best Picture.
I think it deserved the nomination. I mean, I think my problem with it was that last year, we spent a lot of time talking about Tree of Life and how Matt hated that because it was so abstract. And My problem with it was that...
There was no tree in it at all.
There was a tree. No, there was
the,
a tree.
The film, like, I didn't know it was going to go in that direction, and I don't think anybody did, until about just at the beginning of the third act. And I didn't like that it tricked me into being, being an abstract film. And then it was, and then it really got away from me that I didn't totally understand what was going on.
It was a beast, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. And I didn't like that it became abstract, because I didn't see that coming. And then it was, and I didn't like that, but at the same time... I guess, you know, and this is kind of a spoiler, but, like, somebody that I either talked to or read about said that they interpreted out of the film is that the film was supposed to be told through the eyes of a six-year-old, and therefore that's why the narrative of the film was like that. And if that's the case, then I kind of give it more credit.
Oh, like the understanding, the comprehension of it.
We thought it was the way up, and I haven't seen Beasts in a while, but like I said, I've heard about this movie since it was in Cannes, and it's been the top, you know, it's been a big Best Picture nomination.
It's been on NPR like for 3 months.
And I knew about the movie. I hadn't seen the movie. And I don't want to liken it to Tree of Life because I knew that Beasts of the Wild was going to be abstract.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I knew by reading the reviews.
But it wasn't even that abstract. Like, by reading the reviews, I thought it was going to be way more. I thought it was going to be.
I pictured a serious Where the Wild Things Are.
You know, that's exactly what I said.
That's what I thought too.
That's what this movie, this is exactly how I said 30 minutes of the film last night. I said, what this movie is Where the Wild Things Are, but with actual people and not monsters. And that's the way it started off.
But there were monsters in it, too.
No. Yeah, well, that, yeah. All right, I'll give you that.
But,
beasts. They were beasts. They weren't monsters.
Yeah. But that's exactly what I said. But it wasn't abstract enough for you to feel. Like, it wasn't... I was expecting it to be more like Roberto Benigni. Am I saying that name right?
Yeah, Roberto Benigni.
Roberto Benigni.
Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful. Where the reviews I read were like, he's tricking his daughter into having a good time during like, oh, a Katrina like storm. Yeah. So I thought it was going to be more along that line.
I'm glad it wasn't, because I thought the
like
relationship...
Like the Boy in the Striped Pajamas or whatever.
Yeah, it was that one. So that one was a weird film. But, the relationship between the father and the daughter, I thought, saved the film. Because I hated the abstractness of it, but I love that relationship. I thought it was so well done.
The father, I think, should be nominated for supporting actor. I thought...
But
there
that's
was,
very similar to how I felt about Tree of Life. That last year was that the hated the abstract.
Yeah,
I like that. Brad Pitt story.
Yeah, the father was a fantastic actor, and I think one of the things that took away from me, and this is a spoiler for people who haven't seen it, but fuck you anyway.
again, see, the more I get alcohol into him, the more he swears. And we've learned this over the last 10 years. Yeah. So the more he drinks, the more it's a ride.
But I think he's so mean to his daughter. And it's abusive, but it's not out of malice. It's the only way that he, it's the only way that he knows how to love.
Right.
Is this so? You see, I think it's so weird. It's so weird to see someone be so mean to a little girl, but at the same time, not see it as hate, but see it. And he does a great job portraying that protection instinct as love and not as anger. Yeah. Which is one of the few things I liked about the film, other than the music.
Yeah, I don't know if it was nominated for Cinematography Awards, but it's certainly sure.
And it was a pretty film.
Well, yeah, it was one of those things where I had heard about it before it ever came out in the United States or whatever, because it was all over NPR, it was all over the internet as far as, oh my gosh, one of the things they mentioned on NPR was that the sound. It was one of those movies where the sound is a big part of the picture. And
it was. The music was amazing.
Not just the music, though, but the natural sound effects, the editing. And I wonder, like, for me, that movie was, one of those movies was Blair Witch, way back in the day. I thought the sound in Blair Witch was way scarier than anything going on the screen. It was just, if you close your eyes and listen to the movie, it's way scarier.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to add about Beasts?
No.
Did we already say everything?
Yeah, you guys
sit on your list.
You didn't make a list.
You'd be the only one that saw all 9 movies.
I was shocked that it was I was happy to see it get nominated just because it's such a small movie, but I'm surprised that it got nominated. It's tough for me to really rank these other... I mean, since I have such a clear favorite, everything else other than... I mean, I put Lincoln as my second, and everything after that kind of hovers around the same
distant third.
Same Lincoln.
You know, I think, and as we get up past Beast now, this is actually the hardest list since we've been doing the list. I've had a hard time making because all of them I really enjoyed. I didn't hate
it. The four I saw kind of blended, and I agree, Argo was probably the best of the four, but of the four I saw, they all kind of blended.
And it's most of them, for me this year, were, it seemed, even other movies that weren't even something that would get nominated for Best Picture, were just too long.
Yeah.
They went on
for
15 minutes to half an hour longer than they should have. I mean,
that's what every movie is going to be.
Practically, other than Argo. I thought Argo was very tightly edited, put together. It wasn't longer than it needed to be. Lincoln, I just said, I know a few minutes ago, I said I'd watch another 2 hours, which I'll stand by that. But even there were parts of Lincoln that, with me, it seemed long, but I don't know what they could have cut in Lincoln to kind of shorten it up, because every part of it seemed to work for the story they were telling. But other than those two, everything else seemed like 15 minutes to half an hour longer.
And that's a delicate balance, when you're cutting together a film to be able to strike. And we talked about Midnight in Paris earlier, and I thought that Midnight in Paris was one of those movies where there was, and I know Benny thinks the whole entire thing could have been cut. But I liked the film, and it was one of those things where I watched, but there was a point where I said, okay, you lost me, and this whole 5 to 7 minute stretch could have wound up on the floor, and I would have been fine with it.
Issue with that.
And I think that now when you make these movies, especially these historical epic movies, I find that that's got to be hard to do in the editing booth, to be able to figure out, all right, what part do I cut because everybody knows the story and we don't need this, but then what about people that don't know it and might need that information?
Right.
You know, and I think that's where you wind up with movies that are 2 hours, 15 minutes
long. I think
you're
right.
Speaking of long movies. Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty, The Hobbit. I mean,
it's way too
The Hobbit, where they turn a one
I did see The Hobbit. That's
a
movie I saw that was not long.
I've read that book in less time than it's going to make
Life of Pi. Life of Pi seems to drag for me.
The Hobbit not getting nominated is a big deal, because all of Peter Jackson's films prior to that, I mean, all the Lord of the Rings films were nominated, you know, right away.
But they were all better than
The Hobbit. Yeah, they're all better than The Hobbit. The Hobbit should have been called as the guys walking around hills. That's half the fun. All right,
Clerks 2.
Clerks 2 blows. And I'll have a discussion with you anytime. Well, why Clerks 2 hates.
Clerks 3, hardly clerking.
No, Clerks apparently may be reincarnated in Broadway.
That's what they're talking about. They're talking about a musical, but he's also talking about, on one of his many podcasts, he's talking about Clerks 3.
I'd rather see the hockey film that he's never done.
He's working on Hit Somebody.
Nobody loves Kevin Smith more than Kevin Smith. He's just so happy.
Maybe
about
Kevin Smith's mom.
I could never be on his podcast if that came
out. You tried to ruin it for me, too.
Thanks, Ryan.
Red State
at my joke.
I love Red State. It was amazing.
So Zero Dark Thirty was my number six. I think we talked a lot about this with the directing. Is that, you know, why it's not Best Picture is the same reasons why it's not Best Director and Best Screenplay.
A lot of problems. I mean, there's so many problems with that movie that you can't get better than Oscar for Best Picture.
What are some of the problems?
I mean, we talked about the plot. I think the plot is a mess.
Not enough shooting on the sound of the line. They only do it once.
I think the character development is atrocious. I mean, there's so many problems.
But how do you develop characters on people you're not supposed to know who their names are?
Right, well, that's
you know
the
what
point.
Well, you do what Argo did.
Exactly.
Make them up. Throw out an Argo.
I mean, every other movie does.
Hi, Osama bin Laden. I'm going to shoot you in the face now.
Which, obviously, from that article about the actual shooter, I mean, Zero Dark Thirty did do that.
But at the same time, they kind of have to. And I'll say, like, that 30 minutes, not even just... I wasn't looking forward to just the shooting. I would have liked to see more of the operational aspects.
The training, because
I mean, there were, 30, 60 days where all they did was train
run over 100 different possibilities.
Yeah, 100 different possibilities, and I would have liked to see some of that.
And the other thing that we haven't
discussed... And that's something that we knew about.
Yeah.
One thing that we haven't discussed that I think should be pointed out about Zero Dark Thirty is the atrocious casting choices. I mean, James Gandolfini was a joke. And I love Pete from The League, but what was he doing in that film?
Well, I think what was really funny about that is since they didn't have the
Chris
approval...
Chris Pratt.
Since they didn't have the approval of the Army, they couldn't mention anyone by name. So it was always the President, or it was clearly Leon Panetta, but you could not call him Leon Panetta.
James Gandolfini.
Well, you could. I mean, they could have if they had wanted to. They didn't want to piss...
But they didn't want...
They had already pissed people off because they had...
Talked to the CIA.
And they had leaked information, and they also had, you know, special operators that were telling them things about the operation. That it was the same thing that happened. Then that video game came out.
Yeah.
A lot of Warfighter and seven special operators got in trouble over that.
Got fired.
And that's, so it was a big thing then. I think that was more of a, well, we could do it, but let's not.
Yeah.
Because you could, I mean, you could say President Obama. It's like making a movie about the Vietnam War and not talking about,
you can show stock footage of President Obama. I mean, many films have done
that. You can. There's nothing, it's in the fight. It's made by the government.
But it was on.
They showed it. They might have used Obama, but they, I mean, they went out of their way not to say Leon Panetta.
But if they make, if you are, if it's made by the government, it is in the public domain.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a lot of problems with it.
Like I said, I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't either. I didn't. It was enjoyable. As far as like a action film to go see in the theater, yeah, I don't think I've seen a better one.
I don't think it's going to win for the sheer fact that it has to do with people getting shot and war and such. And I think that on the heels of Newtown and Aurora and all the other stuff that's been going on lately in this country, Chris Dorner, you know, the cop who's
ex-cop
who is now an ex-person because he, you know, shot himself in the head after killing several people in California. You know, I think there's just so much of that the Academy is not going to. I think that's why, that is why Tarantino got snubbed. That's why Django Unchained is not on this list.
That's a great point.
Because they're not going to put something that but, you know, and I'm not the person that says film promotes violence. I think it's fantasy and escape.
Makes the argument for the people that want to see
it. Right, but it's like,
has that connection.
I played Battlefield and all that online and shoot people in the face all the time. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it tomorrow.
That's also probably why they didn't nominate Dredd.
Absolutely, why they didn't nominate Dredd 3D.
Which
apparently is really good.
Or really terrible if you're me and I've already seen it.
Wait, why did you go see it?
So is prostate milk, but it doesn't have to try it.
I had it on DVD. Netflix sent me a broken DVD, which somehow made the
film... You sent it back and got another one.
Somehow made the film better.
Wait, why was it even in your Netflix queue? That's my question.
Because it's Dredd. Totally.
Again, discussion of having B comic books that were made in the movies that never should have been made in the movies.
Man, Dredd's a different.
That's not
different
even a B comic.
You're right. Back on time. What's the time here?
All right, Zero Dark 30. We talked about it's not going to win. Les Mis. So here's my problem with Les Mis.
That would have been much better as May Les.
Asian lesbians.
Anne Hathaway We get Jennifer Lawrence for Benny over there from the.
How much do I have to pay for that?
That costs Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, Jessica Chastain. So
we went under the $20 I was going to pay Piz.
with Les Mis, I think the reason why it failed is because the gimmick didn't work, and the gimmick in the movie was the close up.
What's the gimmick?
The gimmick was everyone.
I don't think it failed.
I don't think it failed.
It made tons of money.
Stop. The reason why it's not going to win Best Picture.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. I mean, it was a good film. I enjoyed it when I saw it, but the reason why it's not going to win Best Picture, it failed, is because the gimmick of the close up on everyone's face when they sing, it worked to its detriment. When I see Les Mis, and I see those big songs like Red, mm-hmm. Red and Black, and the big ensemble numbers, I don't have a dry eye. Like, and that's including the two times I've seen it on stage and the billion times I've seen it on TV.
PBS.
Like, mm-hmm. I get, it's a very emotional story and the songs are very emotional. And I think when you see everyone kind of belted out you at once, you kind of get overwhelmed by that live. Or when you watch something live. With this, even though they did a great thing by having then sing to a live music track instead of pre-record it, I felt like that the camera and the way it didn't catch everyone worked to its detriment. It was great for Anne Hathaway, like the way they went in and out of focus because she was moving and the lens type they used. For some of them, it really worked, but it didn't work for everything. And I think if you're going to do a gimmick, it needs to work for the entire picture.
I can see that. I'm going to tell you why it could win. And it could win because of the climate. This movie came out, when Liam Neeson came out in what, the late, early 90s?
I want to say it was 2000 or 2001.
Okay, so late 90s or 2000s. Where everyone was having a great time. The housing market hadn't collapsed. We had,
the towers were still standing.
Everyone was happy. There was no war. Everyone was prosperous. This is a movie, at its core, it's about class warfare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The French Revolution.
It's exactly, that's what it's about. and this is the perfect time for a movie like that to come out, and I fully expected to see blood in the streets. Like, after people would see this movie and just, you know what?
Going
screw this
Wall
shit.
Street.
I am going to start a riot. Because that's what we do. Because we're Americans and
that's
we take after
the French.
The French.
That's the French did. It didn't work
French
the second time.
Us, that one.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that backwards. But, you know.
But Sam Adams, you were talking about. Yeah, he threw the whole thing.
But, Phil, Sam Adams is a horrible brewer. Phil Brewer.
A
Phil
great
Fox
patriot.
Great patriot.
Horrible brewer.
But I actually think this is kind of like a dark horse. You know, I again, I feel what I've seen, and I understand. And
I disagree. I don't think it's a dark horse, but I think going into the Oscars, I think it was actually one of the favorites.
I was going to say, I think it's
the
feel good
before the nominations came out, it was absolutely a favorite. In fact, I told Angela, it's going to be down to this or
Lincoln.
Lincoln.
I think neither will win out. I think Lincoln
and it lost a lot of stock after
it's
the nominations.
A huge
once the director didn't get nominated for Best Director, and it was his idea to use that gimmick, I think any stock that it had to win Best Picture was lost. And I think I thought it was very, at times it was a little hokey too. The one thing that I really loved about it was that it picked up on the subtleties of the songs that I'd never picked up before.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I never, you're going to make fun of me, I don't care.
I never
realized that Red and Black, the part about love and passion, Marius's part, was ironic. Like, I've seen this fucking thing 7 times.
Yeah,
but I've never realized
again,
it was ironic.
This goes back to the entire point where they didn't sing the songs.
They performed
they acted the songs.
And I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
But then I want to say, and I don't know, but is anybody not an opera fan, but has anybody been to opera?
No.
And that's actually a thing I like to do is I it's the only thing in Florida cultural that seems to exist there, so I go to opera and
get
that
football.
That is what we see on the stage is they are not just singing, they are performing, and it is powerful, and there's no microphones, and you are way back in the nosebleeds and being smacked in the face with this amazing vocal, while at the same time watching pain and love and happiness and everything else, all those that wide range of emotions on the stage. So if that is what you're telling me you're watching when you see this movie, I actually put it a little higher up that maybe they will vote for it in the sense of it's not the gun violence and the badness and all that other stuff that we were talking about, why they're not going to nominate Zero Dark Thirty, they're not going to award Zero Dark Thirty. I mean, even Lincoln, at its heart, it's about the 13th Amendment, but it's still a war film.
Yeah.
You know? How much...
Which is why I put Lincoln as my number 4 film. Because it's not... It's you know, at its heart, it's a war film. I mean, it's nothing... What are you filming?
Ben Harris is taking candidates. Yeah.
Behind the scenes. They'll be on the website.
It's going to be on the website.
Perfectly.
For the premium membership,
So Lincoln is my number 4. Unless, do you want to say anything about Les Mis or
nope.
Lincoln is my number 4.
I've said it all before.
It's a Burning Lady song.
Curiosity. Honestly, Les Mis would probably be towards the end of my list.
Okay.
Well, I have a question. After we were wrapped up with the list, I have a question for everybody.
You know, I saw Lincoln.
Does it involve movies?
It was good.
Okay. It does not involve pushed off walls under the bed. Sorry to disappoint
you. I saw Lincoln. I liked Lincoln. I didn't think Lincoln was anything super, super special. He was great in it. We've already talked about that. I thought some. It was. You know, I want to know how much was real. Like, was it all 100% accurate? The movie versus the books. But I enjoyed the lobbyist part.
The part where you get shot in the head, that happened.
Yeah. What do you guys think about Lincoln?
I didn't see it. I really liked Lincoln. I thought it was, every other shot you're seeing actors that you know pop up, whether you could name them or you just knew them from something. So I liked that aspect. I thought Daniel Day-Lewis was, the best performance by far of the year. I honestly don't know where you guys are getting the war film at its core. I mean, yes, that's what it's spun off of, but you see one battlefield of the Civil War, and it's the aftermath. Then you see one aftermath of soldiers coming home. And other than that, for me, it was a political movie, and it's very, like I said before, it's very much that policy.
Well, war is politics by other means, you know, and that's I don't just mean war in the sense of you have soldiers shooting each other. I mean war is like,
you're right.
You know, that's what I mean by a war film. It's a movie set against a backdrop of a big question where you have two sides.
I was thinking the classic war.
You're thinking,
thinking Saving Private Ryan.
No.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean.
But I mean, like, it's a war movie. It's
personal
like,
war.
Yeah.
It certainly was.
So, is this a list? Are we good? I have a question.
So
they have nine films nominated.
Yep.
And I think I already know this answer for DJ, because he's raved about this movie. But if you're going to put a 10th movie on this list.
Which I don't know why they did. Why did they keep nominating nine?
They even go to nine?
That's my thing. I don't think why they should do nine either.
They're stretching this so far. It's like they want to get everybody nominated.
Bring it back to five. Yeah.
But if you're going to add a 10th movie to this list, what is that movie?
Moonrise Kingdom.
Would have been Moonrise Kingdom. Yeah.
Okay. Over.
And I would have pulled two or three of those.
Over.
Yeah, I wouldn't have kept Beast of the Southern Wild in.
Okay. Well, if you're going to pull Beast of the Southern Wild out, what are you putting in its place? You have 10 movies. You have 10 movies to nominate. What movies are you nominating?
It depends who you're asking that question to. If I work for the Academy, probably The Dark Knight Rises. If I work for the Academy, I'd put that one in there.
Why?
Because I want more people to watch the Oscars.
But you yourself mentioned it was a mess of a movie.
Oh, I didn't think it was a mess of a movie.
Do you think people are going to watch the Oscars because they
no
are...
No one's watching the Oscars, they saw the movie that was not.
The Oscars, no matter what
no
gets nominated,
the
Oscars are the number two most watched show on TV.
I think, honestly, I think the fact that they put Seth MacFarlane as the host
is going
to bring... I have seen zero of these movies. Yep. I am watching the Oscars because I want to watch Seth MacFarlane.
Well, that's what they tried to do with James Franco.
You can see that.
But this time, I think it'll...
Yeah, he's going to be great. He was great on Saturday Night Live, and he's going to be fantastic.
Well, and he's got that interesting mix of, you know, he's got that raunchy side, but he also has that old school theater. Like,
yeah.
You can tell that he is a big band aficionado. He loves the old stuff.
Yeah.
He loves the musicals. He loves the... If you just watch his shows,
right.
you get the dick and fart jokes, but you also get the obscure... You know, film references and such that he throws in there.
I also wouldn't be shocked if Seth MacFarlane is a test vehicle for the South Park guys, because you may see them at some point.
That would be really interesting.
I feel like
Seth MacFarlane is more of a risk than the South Park.
No way.
I
think those guys are more, but they've actually already ventured into theater and been very successful. But and this is no surprise
to
anybody. The Book of Mormon's huge.
The Book of Mormon is amazing.
And this is no surprise to anybody because tons of people recommend. But I'm shocked that they haven't invited Neil Patrick Harris to do it. I mean, the guy's born for this stuff. And he's by far the best that I've seen. But
You're
I think
he's born that way?
Billy
Crystal was
awful,
very
right.
good.
Yeah, he's terrible.
But at the end there, it was sort of like, it was desperation on their part, I thought.
You have no
like,
evidence that was the end. He may come back.
Oh, this
yeah,
is true.
True.
But it was like, sorry guys, we fucked up. Here's Billy Crystal again. Remember, you like him. You like him.
Well, it's not so much they fucked up.
Yeah,
it's Brad Ratner saying racist
shit. Yeah, Brad Ratner
crossed
the Eddie Murphy.
Well, that was, yeah.
I must have missed that one.
Eddie Murphy was supposed to host
last
the Oscars.
Year.
Yeah. What did Brad Ratner say?
Oh,
a lot of
things.
Things.
Yeah. Wasn't it homophobic?
A few things that could have been. A few things that probably could have been in this movie.
No,
really,
he made some homophobic comments.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, somebody
because
said gay is a joke, and he said, "I'm not taking it out." It was that crap.
He said he referred to something as being
yeah,
gay.
Yep.
As a pejorative.
Yeah.
He said, "That's how I speak, and screw you if you don't like it." And then it cost him his job hosting or producing
which
the
cost.
They just made Tower Heist, so Eddie Murphy out of loyalty
yeah.
to Ratner Flock.
Well,
yeah.
That was a great decision. But Tower Heist is a great
speaking of
also.
Speaking of controversial things said, brings it to Django. Which Django,
For Tarantino saying, I'm not your monkey or whatever it was?
there are a lot of things
didn't
wrong
with Django.
Did he say
something to that effect? Or they, I don't
probably.
Know.
He said, I'm not your slave.
I'm not your slave, that's what it
there
was.
There are a lot of things
I'm
wrong
watching,
with
we're watching Planet of the Apes of Monkey, and then which are being used as slaves by various people in the 1970s.
There are a lot of things
so,
wrong with Django. But there are a lot of things good about it, too.
Yeah.
And those good things are Jamie Foxx, Christoph Waltz, Sam Jackson, and a fantastic script.
I want Christoph Waltz.
Are there snakes on his
DiCaprio.
Plane?
I want Christoph Waltz
to
do my voicemail message.
I know. You'd be very good.
do you want Christoph Waltz and not Liam Neeson from Taken?
Yeah, I'd go with the Christoph Waltz. You could do it in a variety of languages.
Right now.
Django, for me, was another movie. I really enjoyed it, but it had, like, three endings. Like, pick one.
Sort of Clue.
End the movie and go on. Like, roll the credits. That was one that went on for 15 minutes.
You know what was funny with Django? I was thinking, there actually, this isn't that all that bloody. And then all of a sudden, you say, oh, now that's bloody.
There you go.
That's the Tarantino I know and love.
I'm really waiting to see Django again for a second time to see how I kind of settle on what I really think about it.
Well, we all know how you feel about Argo.
I can't wait for the sequel. Django even more unchained.
Django rechained.
So Argo was your number two, but the Silver Linings Playbook was your number one.
Correct.
Why would you put that ahead of Argo?
The reason why I love...
You're a Philadelphia fan.
I am.
He's Ben Affleck.
I'm a huge Eagles fan. The reason why I thought Silver Linings Playbook was better than Argo. And DJ and I can argue semantics about it. But I thought that Silver Linings Playbook, the movie is about a guy, and I said this before, the movie is about a guy who's going through manic depression, he's riding this wave, and David O. Russell does a great job of bringing the viewer into it. And when you feel his high, you're high, and when you feel his low, you're low. And I felt like it's a great way to successfully do a romantic comedy. Let's not take away from the fact that it's not so much a movie about mental health, although that's a part of it. This is a romantic comedy, the most original romantic comedy I've seen in years. And
that was cheesy.
Well, it's about a crazy dude.
I believe cheesy is the definition of romantic comedy.
But it's about a crazy dude
dealing with mental illness your core. Yeah. And that's where I had a major problem.
It's about a guy with a mental illness falling in love with a girl with a mental illness, which is basically every relationship I've ever had in my entire life.
I really enjoyed Silver Linings.
Mark Dave.
I think the performances were what got the point across about the mental illness. However, the way mental illness was just shoved to the side to get the romantic comedy
ending, I was like,
wow, O. Russell really did something there for a while. I don't know if it's just Russell or O. Russell when you read but by the time it got to the ending, it was just such a, not a typical romantic comedy, because it was very original, and I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. But I was just like...
At the end, it was...
You could have done something there, and instead you just went with...
I thought it was actually going to go someplace...
What was expected.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually going to be kind of a David O. Russell twist. Kind of like... I thought it was going to be more surreal than...
George Clooney shows up and punches him in the face.
Yeah. Well, no, I thought, you know, throughout the entire film, you know, he's getting better, so the audience is getting better as well. It's leveling itself off.
And she actually deteriorates when she's supposed to be the leveling.
I thought there would have been a twist. Like, I honestly thought at the end that you're going to find out that he wasn't better. That this was all in his head is kind of a coping mechanism.
Anyone that struggles—that's
what I was expecting.
I was hoping more out of the story.
Anyone that struggles with mental illness has that idea of, okay, now they have that hope of getting better. When they don't have that hope of getting better, that's when they kill themselves. So they couldn't have made this movie without. And again, just going off the trailer, that is the one I want to see. You can't make that movie without that hope of I'm leveling off, I'm getting better, because for anybody, and that's one of those things, what are the estimates on mental illness in the United States? It's really high. I think a lot more people than the public wants to admit suffer from those sort of things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so they watch that and they go, you can't make that movie with, oh, I'm not getting better. Because you're going to have nothing but auroras, and you're going to have nothing but new talents, and you're going to have nothing but pain and suffering on a large scale.
But I guess, and I totally understand that from an absolute realistic point of view, that it's not a good thing to have two people with mental illness, like, trust each other to help each other. Like, people usually don't get better that way.
People who are broken can't fix other
exactly.
people.
Exactly. Except
in this movie.
They think they
can.
Well,
that's the thing, and I totally understand.
But they think they can. They do think they can.
And I totally understand and respect that. But I think when you look at... That's an absolute flaw at the end. The ending of it was a flaw. I will not deny that. But I thought the rest, 5/6 of the film, I thought was very strong and very original and really, I think a lot of it is the acting.
That
movie could have sucked given to Emma Stone.
The cinematography drove me nuts. I don't know if that was Russell's choice with the cinematographer, but the Michael Bay 360-degree...
It didn't bother me in this one.
It worked. There were two or three shots where they did it, and it worked. But when they started doing it, like, literally every 10 minutes, I was like, what are you doing? It doesn't even fit with the story. Like,
Great shot.
It was just this 360-degree around the two characters. I'm like, what is going on?
But there was a lot of...
I have a steady cam. Watch me use it.
Well, no, yeah. I can understand it. But I thought there was a lot of... the storytelling aspects of it, I thought,
for me, brilliant. It sailed on the acting. That was the key part.
But everybody.
It's going to be Argo.
It's the first movie since I think Reds, so in like 30 years, all four acting categories have somebody nominated.
But I mean, in your all due respect to your picnic, I think Argo is going to win.
Oh, I'm not saying that Argo is not going to win. I'm saying that was my
this was your favorite. Picks,
right? Yeah. But I think Argo absolutely is going to win.
And I think that's why you kind of left it out as, like, that's the only thing on your list, and then it's...
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Argo win, obviously. I kind of lost hope when Affleck didn't get nominated for director.
Me too. Yeah, I totally lost hope. Yep.
When the way it's panned out with all the awards, it looks like it's the first... Because I read, when Argo first, the week before Argo opened, I read that they showed it to members of the Academy, and it blew the roof off the place. So then I said, wow, Affleck's getting Best Director, and it's going to get Best Picture. And then came out, and the buzz just kept
going. I thought Affleck was going to get nominated for Best Actor.
Do you think there's any backlash?
I wasn't going to go that far.
Do you think it's any backlash? There's any backlash involved? Or do you think that people genuinely felt other movies were better? Other directions, were better?
I didn't mention this before when Ryan was talking about the directing thing, because it's the directors from the Academy that got the Academy into this situation.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's why... I don't know how... I don't see the entire Academy taking it out on Spielberg, because the Academy has always taken it out on... That's why it took Spielberg until 1993 to win a Best Director Oscar, because he was too popular.
Yep.
And then, you know, he got it for Schindler's, he got it for Saving Private Ryan. I don't know that I see them doing that to him again, especially because of Lincoln. So I'm still kind of expecting Spielberg to get it, but, I mean, I think... I wouldn't be surprised if we see some type of change somehow in the Academy from this, because, and I still don't know how it all works with the directors nominating the director's part of it, and then all of a sudden the Directors Guild gives it to Affleck. So what went on in terms of, obviously there's probably a lot more members of the DGA than there are directors in the Academy. But I just still don't get he didn't get nominated and now is...
I think we've hit an interesting point.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that he didn't make his bones as a director really until
He's directed two really good films.
But I mean, he is known as an actor who has made some really good films. He's also made some really horrible films.
There's other actors
as an actor, he's made good films and he's made really bad films.
As a director, he's been spot on.
Do you think some of the members
of
the Academy who are directors sort of do you think that there is in Hollywood in the Academy a sort of us versus them in the sense of like directors don't respect actors don't respect directors kind of thing?
Could be.
That could be it. I mean, any good director, I think, has to, in my opinion, any good director has to respect actors and the craft, or you're not going to be able to know how to deal with them.
Yep.
Case in point, somebody like George Lucas. And not that he's on the level of somebody, but I think Affleck's a smart guy. He's always been, not necessarily in the choices he made as an actor for the roles he took on, but he's a smart guy. And I think that shows not only in the films he's directed, but the way he directs his actors. And I think he's coming at it from... I think with the three movies he's directed, it's obvious that he sat on every film set, no matter if it was...
Notes.
Right. No matter if it was Geely or...
This works, this doesn't.
Goodwill Hunting.
Because that's what I was just going to ask when you said the acting, the direction choices he makes when he's directing those actors. Do you think the actors trust him more?
I think
because look, this guy has been in my spot. He knows what it's like,
and he's been in my spot in good movies and in bad
movies. So
exactly.
I trust him.
Yeah, and I mean, Cranston didn't shut up. Any show he was on when Argo was out, all he talked about was how great a director Affleck was and how comfortable he was working with him as the director.
And I think Affleck very intelligently chose not to direct himself in his first film.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, let's not forget, every movie Affleck's directed has gotten an acting nomination.
Yep, yeah.
So,
who was nominated in Gone Baby Gone?
Amy Ryan.
Yeah.
She didn't win, did she?
No.
Now, does he work, and I don't know if you might know this, DJ, but does he work with the same casting agent or the same
team? I would think if he doesn't, he's going to start after this.
Because, like, you know, there's some things that you know, people always tend to work with the same folks because they know, we've joked about Kevin Smith, but I know Kevin Smith always likes to use the same DP because
they keep Reds from boys in the office.
Exactly.
Yeah. Regardless of the fact that Affleck's not going to win an Oscar,
he is because he produced it.
Right, well, he's going to produce
it.
He is now an A-list director.
Now, you know what he needs to do is he needs to direct
himself into the Senate?
He needs to direct U.S. Grant in follow-up to Lincoln.
To Lincoln, yeah. He's going to... Garfield is coming up.
If anything, this just set Affleck up for his next directing nomination and the win.
Now that begs the question then, is Affleck the next Scorsese?
Yep.
In the sense of... Not in the sense
that he won't win one.
That he won't win.
And then he'll win one for what's clearly not his best.
Exactly.
No, I think we'll see Affleck with... I don't think it'll be his next movie because he's doing another Lehane... adaption.
Which one is he doing?
The newest one, Live by Night.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
But I think we will see Affleck with a best director. In the next few years.
I think he's probably one of the best directors out there right now.
I think he really is. As a director, I think he's the Eastwood of this next generation.
Well, and that's who I liken him to because Eastwood's another one who started. You know, he started in television really, and then went onto the big screen and I think took notes.
I think Affleck gets the Justice League job.
No.
They're not making the movie anymore.
He won't take it.
They're not making the movie anymore.
Wait, they're not making the movie?
No. Yeah, the first script, I was reading a review of the, and said the first script was, said it was terrible.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
You know, honestly, you know what they need to do with those movies, and this is that whole separate comic book movie podcast, so I'm not going to get too far into it, but what they need to do is they need to pick something like Identity Crisis. That graphic novel and just make that movie and like, look, you know who Batman is, you know who Superman is, you're going to go see this movie if you're a fan. If you're not, come see it because guess what? Superman and Batman aren't really in it. It's all these other human characters that are very human and very well written and very well developed and they have this whole thing going on where, they also happen to be able to do this or that. And I think that honestly, if you read that particular graphic novel, it reads more like a, if you take the superpower part away from it, it's a human story, and I think people could relate to it.
You're never going to see any superhero film on that spectrum.
No. Yeah, and I think, Affleck would stay clear of that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see him direct something like that, because he's too good of a director to now all of a sudden start.
He really is.
Kenneth Branagh making Thor.
Right.
I don't know though.
Kenneth Branagh made Thor real.
I know,
film.
but it was good, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh,
it was the best superhero movie I've seen.
I didn't want to buy a Thor book after
this
that.
Time next year, I wouldn't be shocked if Star Trek is nominated for Best Picture. There's a lot of nominees.
Star Trek is going to get
nominated. Affleck was the next choice after Abrams for Star Wars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Star Trek
at least was somewhere on the list right behind it.
I think that's absolutely a real point. I don't think it doesn't fall in the same comic book movie. It's more of a sci-fi.
Yep.
But I think it's going to get nominated.
Right. My prediction is that this Star Trek film gets the same reception that The Dark Knight got. I think people love the first one.
Benedict Cumberbatch is going to win his first Oscar. I haven't even seen the fucking film yet.
Yeah, I think
it hasn't even come out yet.
No, it hasn't even come out
yet.
When I saw the one in, was it 2009 that came out, the Star Trek
But I still have not seen it yet, by the way.
It's very good.
I'll give it to you.
The actor who played McCoy.
Captain, I just don't have the...
Was he in Dredd?
He was Dredd.
I never see Dredd's face, so I don't know.
But
that's right.
He was also in Lord of the Rings.
He was in Lord of the Rings, yes. He was Amor, I think, or one of the...
One of the ears.
One of the Rohan guys.
That was Rohan guys.
That was a nerd test I failed. Anyway.
And he was in the second Bourne movie.
Yes, he actually was. But his
the Bourne
his movie. Performance in Star Trek what made me appreciate DeForest Kelly.
Yeah.
Portrayal yeah. more. I mean, I think Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner sort of dominate that the 60s Star Trek idea and those characters. And McCoy has always been sort of the third wheel. And in that film, you really got like, oh, wait a second. This is who McCoy is. He nailed it. He nailed the delivery. He nailed the accent. He nailed everything about DeForest Kelly. And I saw that and I said, that is an amazing performance because he has become this other person. Like, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt becoming Bruce Willis. Right. I think it's another one that shows what a true actor is.
I think that movie is a great... This has nothing to do with the Oscars. Let's end the PissCast. We're going to end the PissCast now. The OscarCast.
You know what?
It was great fun.
Why don't we just make a clean edit so you can cut this
Argo is your best picture. No question. Argo's going to...
Go Argo.
And hopefully they'll just...
Argo win it.
Right in after the best director.
All right, guys. Have a great PissCast. Enjoy the Oscars.